Welcome to Notcast, episode
367.
67. Winter is coming. This is Fuzzwolf.
I'm Saverin. And she was not here because she's off doing Chicat things.
Yes.
So we are here recording at Fuzz's kitchen table because doing it on the patio would be a little nibbly.
It's 46 degrees currently here in Texas.
And
or this part of Texas.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a part where it's like 111 and another part where it's minus 20.
Yeah.
Because Texas.
Yeah, Amarillo is probably really cold right now.
Mm.
But they get all the snow. That's where all the snow in Texas goes.
It's so weird to see, like, you get really used to the weather in your area. That, like, I see Twitter and I see people talking about, well, I'm going to have to shovel it. It's going to be 20 degrees tonight. And, you know, and I'm just like, it's not that late in the year yet.
No.
And then you're like, oh, you know, people in Minnesota and South Dakota.
Yeah. Like, we'll get back up to the mid-60s and 70s by the end of this week. But otherwise, it's a bit cold.
And I know lots of people in Colorado. And
That's probably really cold. But it has been a all right week. We've had a very interesting election night. We both got a chance to see Thor. Not together, but we both saw Thor.
Mm-hmm.
The new Doctor has an outfit.
We can discuss
that. And some con news. Not my con news, but convention news as well. So to open it up, let's talk Thor.
Okay.
So I went and saw Thor opening day, the Friday thereof, at like a noon showing. Actually, I think it was a little bit later in the day because I didn't have my shit together. But I was one of maybe 20 people in theater that time of day because, you know, people have jobs.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we do.
I really thought it was a lot of fun, even though it was incredibly dark. This movie, with the subtitle of Ragnarok, they don't really fuck around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot. I'm going to try to keep it mostly
spoiler-free,
but we're going to talk in generalities here. Ragnarok is definitely a good subtitle because so much shit goes down in this film. Motherfuckers die. A lot. A lot of dudes. A lot of places.
And Fenrir was just a good boy who was trying to do his job.
I know, and he went flying into space.
My group that I was with had this interesting conversation that, like, if they establish that the wormhole is right outside of Asgard, then maybe when Fenrir goes flying into space, he goes through the wormhole, and he ends up landing on the garbage planet where the Games Master is.
Probably. That would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the movie, so that no, the giant wolf isn't dead. It's okay, because everyone's like, "Oh, whoa, that's a big wolf!" Ooh, all the furries in the audience, you know.
Ooh,
ooh, ooh! I want to pet him. He looks so fluffy.
I have to admit, CG though, he did look pretty fluffy.
Yeah, the CG fur effects that are out there are really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you've seen, you haven't seen the opening trailer for the new WoW expansion where Greymane, the werewolf leader, is in there. He looks super fluffy.
I haven't seen it, but maybe I should watch it just for...
Yeah, it's the faction squaring up and going, "Raw, we're gonna fight." And it's the werewolf leader and the human leader kind of there together.
It sounds very Murray.
Yup. Well, I mean, as furries, we control the media somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And
all these, like, CG animators in Hollywood hone their skills from years of watching Torn Fox animations.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fox and the water tentacles, the fox and the horse, and then you have the other people that make their CG animations, and it's like, you know what? These furries, they can't beat us when it comes to making non-erotic furry stuff. So it's like, yeah, let's not render the CG balls on this giant wolf. We'll leave that to somebody else.
And some character is killed by being crushed by Fenrir's massive ball.
Just sits on him. And then, like,
boof.
Somewhere, somehow, a furry just went, "Ooh, I gotta draw that." But man, like, the banter in the movie was really good. I thought, like, the character bouncing off and a little bit of self-awareness going in, that, like, Thor has generally been very dry. Like, Thor is very straightforward. But now in this one, with the Games Master and fucking Jeff Goldblum being Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah. He was well cast in that. Yeah. And I read some of the wiki articles, so... Apparently, in the comics, the Games Master is the brother of the Collector.
Yeah.
Like, you can kind of tell they were supposed to be from the same race of people. But, so I'm wondering if they're going to be in, like, if they'll both be in, like, Infinity War or something like that.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But just, and also the visual design of the film. Like, we were both really hyped for this. When we saw the trailer, it was like, oh, this looks like it's going to be so fucking cool. Yeah. Oh, and I love the logo, and oh. And it actually delivered.
Like, yeah.
It straight up had the wild-ass aesthetic. It didn't spend a ton of time just explaining its shit. It's just like, all right, now there's this evil goddess, and she's going to, like, kick Thor to a planet of garbage, and they're going to make him fight the Hulk after some wild shit. And then there's Jeff Goldblum being Jeff Goldblum. Then there's, like, this rock guy, and they...
What? No. Why would you hand me the melty stick?
You know.
Not an execution-level offense.
And just like, all right, now there's this, and now there's this. It is very much a single through line. There's not, like, side stories going on, really.
If anything, it's something I pointed out. In parts, I felt it was too funny. Like, there are some parts where I feel like, okay, it just feels... one joke on top of the other. That was my only real complaint. I mean, I like 90% loved it.
Yeah.
I would have maybe toned it down a little bit. But I think I'm in the minority when it comes to that. Like, people seem to really like... funny enough, riding home from work tonight, I ended up on the same train as Cero. So he and I were talking about this, and they had just seen it as well. Yeah, he was saying, like... like, he felt that way, too. Like, it was a little too funny, and that it didn't have... like, there's only one real moment in the film that has an emotional moment that is allowed to breathe for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the scene between Valkyrie and Hela, if you recall.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. But other than that, there's not a lot of scenes where, like, there's a lot of... emotional gravity.
I mean, even when Hela's whacking fools, there's jokes.
Yeah. And, like, at the end, when, like, shit is really dire, you still got the rock guy.
Yeah.
It's the comic relief, you know? That should have been a more somber moment.
It's like, yeah, shit's gotten really bad. Because, yeah, like, for all of its humor, the movie itself is, again, very dark.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, shit gets wrecked. People die. Characters from prior films are just fucking murdered.
And what's interesting is, you know, everyone is like, oh, Loki totally took the Tesseract because he walks right past it a couple of times. You know, the blue ball.
Yeah.
The blue cube. And this could be spoiler territory, but it's also conjecture.
Uh-huh.
Because apparently the group I went with, a couple of the guys were like theorizing this. One of the stones that's still missing. That hasn't been identified yet. It's called the Soul Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's yellow. And they're like, what character had an ability that looked yellow? And it's Heimdall. Whenever he used his sight special ability, his eyes went yellow. And when he communicated with Thor, Thor's eyes went yellow.
I can see that.
And there'd been a previous movie... Heimdall had said something about having seen like 10,000 souls or 10 million souls across the cosmos or something like that. So I don't know if they would do that, though, if they would basically be this guy is the Soul Stone. Because you've got to think, like, the Mind Stone, I think it is already in Vision's forehead, right? So I don't know if they'd really pull that trope twice.
Yeah, because the Mind Stone was in Loki's Pokey Stick, and then they put it into Vision.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think of what all the other stones were in the movies.
Mm-hmm. Because,
like, the Tesseract was one, the...
Which one did they have in the Guardians?
I don't know.
It was green.
It was purple?
I think it was.
I'm not sure, the honestly. First Guardian. I think it was, like, the Power Stone, probably. Because, mm-hmm. like, Soul is orange. And I'm also remembering it's based upon, because I've been watching Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite some. Because mm-hmm. pretty all right to watch, except right now the meta is really bad. Everyone's playing, like, the same three characters, and it sucks to watch sometimes.
Oh. But is this a new game?
Yeah, it's the new Marvel vs. Capcom game.
Oh, God, those games have become forever, and even I remember playing that in the arcade.
Yeah, this new one, because it was made post-Disney acquisition, it doesn't have any of the X-Men in it. So all these long-term X-Men characters like Storm and Wolverine and Sentinels are just not in the game.
Oh,
yeah. So they had to, like, replace it with characters like Gamora and...
So they put more MCU characters.
Yeah, basically it's a bunch of MCU characters.
Which will strangely kind of work, because yeah. the MCU stuff
like Black
really
Panther.
Right now. Yeah. Ooh, that comes out... Wait.
It comes out in later this month, I think. I don't know, but...
Now I'm thinking, like, I thought it came out in November, but
there was
then
a
I'm like...
trailer for that in
They
front
wouldn't
of the movie.
Put it out right on the heels of Thor, would they? I thought they
I'm not sure.
Maybe it's like February or something, because Infinity War comes out in like May.
Yeah, I'm going to look for Black Panther on this, because Black Panther, movie, not cat, for once.
Yeah.
Because the new Justice League movie is coming out, too, and that looks like it'll be... okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Black Panther 2018.
Okay.
So, February 16, 2018.
Okay, I was right about it being February then. Okay.
But that looks like it's going to be real fucking cool.
Yeah, it does look really good.
All black cast, except for the antagonists, basically.
Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis.
The Tolkien white guys.
Yes. I saw that. I thought that was great. Also, they've released these really cool posters of the main character, you know, like for the honor of her nation and stuff like that. It's really badass stuff. And somebody was like, hey, they forgot one. And they made one for Martin Freeman, and it just says WTF.
Yeah, he's just like, oh no. Yeah, there's the one gal with the spear, and there's the other gal, she's got the twin chakram
mm-hmm.
going on.
Yeah.
But the trailer for it looked really good.
I think it's Alfre Woodard plays his mother, and the actress plays Michonne in Walking Dead. I don't remember her real name. She plays, like, the royal enforcer or something. And I think she's the actress that it shaved her head.
Then there's the one chick who has, like, the twin, like, panther fist gun things. And, like, yeah, that was cool.
And it's interesting. You know, I read a really neat little interview snippet with the actor playing Black Panther the other day. And he said that he thought really hard about what kind of accent to give the character.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, a lot of Africa, I mean, have very colonial accents. You know, they'll be like South Africa sounds kind of sort of English. Uh-huh. Because Britain colonized them ages ago, but like Wakanda's never been conquered and it is completely isolated from the world, but it's also extremely technologically advanced. And he wanted to make sure that like he's addressing his people and he's not going to have a colonial accent.
Yeah,
so
like,
he,
I'm not going to sound English-ish.
Yeah, and he's not going to sound American either. And
yeah.
It's so he actually he did a bunch of work on like getting the sound of the voice of his character just right.
Yeah,
which I like hearing about that when actors like kind of go that extra mile, like they're thinking about. It's not just like a job that I'm going to like, oh, I'll just say the lines and move on or whatever. I mean, not that it's ever that easy, you know, especially in a very highly physically intense role like a Marvel superhero. But it's kind of cool when they like they really put thought into like their character and like what kind of person they would be and stuff like that.
Well, and in a lot of ways, this is also like a very important film because it's like, look, this is a modern superhero film with an almost all black cast. And people are like, it needs to be kick-ass and do well, otherwise people just be shits about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it looks really cool from the trailers, and I'm going to go see it opening weekend, as I've been doing with a lot of the local recent movies. But, you know, it's one of those, they need to go the extra mile in this case.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like with Wonder Woman, they're like, oh, you know, we need to go the extra mile to make sure this movie is good because it's a woman-led film. with mm-hmm. Gal Gadot was Diana. And so, you know, they made sure that the movie kicked ass, and it was good, and I liked it a lot. So it's just one of those, it kind of sucks that they have to be like, okay, this is a movie that's not the traditional balding space marine protagonist, you know?
Uh-huh, right.
So it's like, you know, that's more of a video games thing. But again, it's just like, you know, we got to make sure that these films are good and profitable because we're taking a, quote, risk by not making the lead a white male.
So, speaking of marginalized people doing well,
yeah,
the election.
Yeah, actually, that was really cool. So, we, in America, November 7th was our election night, just sort of like, all right.
And this is an odd one. So, we have, you know, our big presidential election every 4 years. And then we have midterms elections every 2 years. And often there's senators up for election, all the Congress people are up for re-election. But then there's ones like this where it's an off year. 2017 isn't even a midterm. That's next year.
This is just
Every year there's some kind of voting going on election day. Here in Texas we had 7, I think it was, proposed amendments to the state constitution, and there were multiple local ordinances were being voted on depending on what city you were in. 2 or 3 states had governors that were up for election or re-election. And of course, you know, townships and boroughs and counties.
Lots
and
of
stuff
local
like
elections.
That. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that if you want to actually affect change locally and affect things like gerrymandering and stuff like that, a lot of, like, governors have a lot of control over gerrymandering. That's a big issue. And if you want to change things locally, like your school board and what they're doing and stuff like that, that's all local, you know. So if you care about shit like creationism being taught in school and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
that's your school district
and
school council,
like,
there.
A lot of the election news from the 7th was just people getting out and vote and either beating or trouncing the shit out of these entrenched Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, specifically, the biggest one that everyone was like, holy shit, what? Was Danica Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And she beat Bob Marshall, becoming the first transgender person elected to Virginia State Legislature. She was not the first transgender person overall, but, like, I think 8 or 9 trans people got elected to various offices around the country.
Right. So what makes this election particularly sweet, and this happened at least 3 times that I'm aware of in this cycle, is that so the person that she beat wrote Virginia's anti-trans bathroom bill.
Yep.
So he had his job taken by a trans woman. And a lot of people were like, we will replace you.
Get owned by the libs.
One of the other ones that happened was, you probably remember a year or two ago, a TV reporter was shot dead live on TV while she was doing a story. And that woman's boyfriend ran for a seat. And the guy that he defeated was a guy who was heavily funded by the NRA. So the guy running on gun safety and gun control beat the heavily funded by the NRA guy. So I really like that one also.
There was another good school board election,
mm-hmm.
where it was a general anti these people. It was an Asian American guy and an Indian woman, or maybe I'm mixing it up.
No, I remember seeing these ads.
And and they were little flyers like, make Edison great again. What's next? Indian school? Asian school? Cricket fields?
Yeah. Yeah, and we're like,
What? What the fuck? And in this case, both the people being attacked on the flyer won their respective spots.
That's fantastic. I had not heard that.
There was another one where a Dem Socialist person who was up for some, like, city council or something had gotten these flyers comparing him to Marx, Mao, Stalin, all these, like, it was like the lineup of communist leaders, and then this guy's goofy-ass mug. And they were like, communism is bad for whatever, and no, he won.
The other one that I thought was really good was the guy who made this really misogynistic post on Facebook. It was around the time of the Women's March in Washington at the beginning of the year. And he literally said, "I hope they're all back in time to get back in the kitchen." Beaten by a woman.
Nice. Like, again, we're glossing over because it's been a couple days and it's not nearly as instantly fresh in our minds. And doing prep for the show, I mean, what the hell, right? But it's good to have good news when it comes to the elections. There's still tons of bad shit happening, but there's still some good shit. And people are, like, not sitting back and just letting it happen. They're getting involved. I mean, shit, there was an anecdote I saw on Reddit where basically this person's aunt was in their little town, decided that she wasn't really thrilled with the local representation anymore, so she went out there, campaigned, and got herself elected mayor of her little town of 1,000 people.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like, cool.
Cool.
Where people are getting involved in the process because, fuck, we can't let these old motherfuckers stay in power. Mm-hmm. You see the shit they're trying to pull.
Yeah.
The harm that they're visiting upon anybody that, you know, these are the people that think $450,000 a year is middle class.
Yeah, like, holy shit.
Like,
at that level, I'm like, I wish I was middle class.
I know, right? Wow. So if that's middle class, what the fuck are we? You know? Jesus. And
we're fucking negative numbers. We're like below lower class.
Yeah, you know? Like, you know, oh, you're only making a, you know, combined household income of just a hair over six.
I remember years ago, but back when I lived in Jacksonville, I was talking to my mom about this at the time. There was this article in the newspaper about how this husband and wife, one of them had been laid off, but they both made a fuck ton of money. So, like, even on the wife's salary, you know, she made something like $95,000 a year or something like that. And they were like, oh, we have to make all these sacrifices. Our children are going to have to come out of private school, and we're only going to be able to afford one vacation cruise this year. And the next week, the newspaper was full of letters to the editor of basically, fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, no. You're only going to be able to go on 1 week-long cruise. And I'm like, I've never been on a fucking week-long cruise. Not that I want to be in a week-long cruise. I'm not going to be in a fucking coffin floating on the ocean.
I don't need dysentery.
Yeah. I don't need scurvy.
But just the overwhelming flood of fuck you letters. It was good to see. Because I'm like, Jesus, these people are just really cut off from reality, you know. And this was like 10-15 years ago, so it's probably it'd be even more money today.
But yeah, it's nuts.
Middle class is 400K. Good lord, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's middle class if maybe you're in, like, insisting on living in San Francisco, like downtown, for some ungodly reason.
Yeah, you might be able to get by.
Oh, I don't know, but yeah. And hell, even there was 3 state seats in Georgia that flipped.
Really?
That had previously been, like, Republican strongholds.
Wow.
The dude that Danica beat had been in here since I was born.
Fuck.
He'd been going there for fucking ever, and nope, fuck you. You transphobic old piece of shit, you've been replaced by a transgender heavy metal singer.
Yeah, the fact that she's, like, a fucking heavy metal guitarist is, like, pretty fucking rocking. And I'm going to say citation needed, but I have seen Facebook posts from some clip that's been passed around Twitter of this woman saying, "A guy was my brother, and I'm sorry he lost his job, but he shouldn't have been so transphobic and close-minded."
Yeah. So there was another really good burn that, when asked her opinion on the guy she beat, she's like, "Well, it's never a good idea to badmouth your constituents, and he's my constituent now."
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Ah, get owned.
Speaking of another good burn, you mentioned Reddit earlier, and you told me earlier in the week, well, actually, I'd seen it pop up, that Reddit deleted their incel community.
Yeah.
And Cell is involuntarily celibate.
These are the dudes ultra mad that they can't get laid, and they blame and hate women for it.
The take I saw on that was, well, I guess they're not incel anymore because Reddit fucked them.
Yep. My tweet, goodnight's bitter princels, got a lot of faves.
Aww.
The 7th was a pretty good day in terms of, like, as a minor antidote to some of the awful shit we've been inundated with. I will say, though, that it has been disappointing to find out that there's all these various actors and shit that are actually really shitty people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I figure, like, Harvey Weinstein was the big block that people knocked out. And they're like, wait, you can take down this ultra-powerful Hollywood dude? Well, shit. Yeah, like, this dude's a real piece of shit and did all this other stuff. And it's like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, today was Louis C.K.
Yeah, who I'm not super familiar with. I know he's a comedian.
He's like a comedian.
Apparently quite popular.
And, like, his shtick is that he's this perverted dude. And it turns out that he's just working from real life, apparently, because he apparently has whipped his dick out and started jacking off in front of women a few times.
Yeah.
And it's just like, God, really? I mean, it's good that these things are coming out, because obviously motherfuckers have been getting away with this shit for way too fucking long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I saw a tweet. It's like, you know what? At least, well, we have at least a few actors we can rely on, and the like picture of the kids from Stranger Things. They haven't done anything yet, probably, because they're like 13.
Yeah. Although, like, it's okay. So. It's really disturbing that Finn, the guy that plays, I've forgotten his name. One of the kids, the main boy, the one that has a crush on 11. He's 14 in real life. The actress who plays 11 is 13 in real life.
Yeah, I think I saw a thing about
They're both getting sexually harassed.
Oh, yeah. All
right.
Like, I saw there was this entitled piece of shit sounding dude that was, like, being rude to the kid. Like, oh, how dare you ignore your fans to help make you what you are. And it's like, you're, like, 30, dude. What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
These kids, no.
But there's a video of him being interviewed, and it's in an airport or something, and apparently it's just happened. And the interviewer says, so what do you think of that 27-year-old model? And he's like, yeah, that was weird. And he's like clearly uncomfortable about it. Apparently this 27-year-old model, it basically told him to call her in 4 years because he's 14.
Yeah.
And
he's just like, you know what? I'm a kid. Could he maybe let me be a kid? I mean, yes. Stranger Things is really popular, but I'm a kid.
And I'm like, I really enjoy Stranger Things, but I feel really bad for those kids. And I'm like, that probably sounds weird because, you know, I'm sure they'll be okay for money or whatever. And being in Harry Potter hasn't ruined any of those people's lives from the look of it so far. But I'm just kind of like, you know, and 11 is getting all kinds of, criticism, you know, wearing not enough makeup, too much makeup, the dress is too long, the dress is too short, you know, all the stuff that adult actresses and models have to deal with, too.
Yeah, it's really...
And she's fucking 13. It's sort of
really
like,
gross.
Welcome to the world. It's really gross and men are pigs.
Yeah.
Enjoy your time in the spotlight. And it's just shitty.
Yeah, you know? And that was one of the things and a good chunk of the reasoning why we never got any of the CMC actresses for Nightmare Nights. It's just like, you know what? We are not going to play anywhere near that ball of fire. Because, like, these kids, they are underage, and there's a lot of creepy-ass bronies, and I'm not going to play even just anywhere near that. And this isn't any fandom. Like, you get underage actors, actresses, kid actors, just... You know what? Just don't. Let them be kids. Don't drag them out in front of cons. I just don't think that's wise.
You know, like, there's that Rocket Raccoon fursuiter who looks very much like Rocket because they're the right height. because they're a kid. And I'm like, oh, that's a cute suit. God, that's horrifying. You know, because I'm just thinking of a child at a furry convention. And I'm like, oh, you know, we're all family friendly here. There's no porn or anything like that. I mean, even not like that. Like, it's not like there's porn everywhere. I'm just kind of like, some of our less well-adjusted fandom members will say something to that person in suit or grab their ass or something. And it's just not going to be good. It's kind of concerning. Speaking of shit that's kind of concerning, was this the fandom convention news you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, we can like transition that way. So MFF, some dude, and this has been brought up to the con chairs, and they're super aware of it and know exactly what's going on.
And he posted it to Facebook under his real name, so. Like,
what a triple dumbass. Holy shit. I mean, I'm glad he's that dumb, but apparently this fucking spawns because somebody did an artist beware of the guy because he didn't pay for his shit or something?
No. The perpetrator is the artist in this case. And the customer was like, dude, it's been a year. I want my money back. And he was like, well, I'll give it to you at MFM. And the guy, MFF. And the guy was like, why don't you just fucking just PayPal me right now? He's like, well, you better hope I don't see you at MFF. And the guy was like, what do you mean by that? And then he apparently made several social media posts about how he really had the feeling that he wanted to kill everybody in a room and don't go to MFF. That's all I can say. This was his quote, not mine.
Yeah. There's screen caps out there.
I'm not saying don't go to MFF. I'm saying this fucking guy apparently is threatening to go and shoot up a furry con.
Yeah. So that's great. Like, come on, kids.
The fandom has had threats like these before. The convention has the receipts. There's all these screen caps. They have his real name. They have all of his furry alts. And yeah. I am sure a convention that size, they're at the point where, like, they're having a good relationship with their host city. They're going to have cops there. They're going to have people on the lookout. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not an unprotected event, like a small 500-person convention at a Holiday Inn or something like that.
Yeah.
This is going to be a 7,000-8,000-person event in a convention center.
Basically, once you have a big enough economic impact, because money rules the day, the city will pay more attention to you and continue to hope you do well because tax revenue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of how it was with Addison and Fiesta and Nightmare Nights.
Yeah.
Like, these people are well-behaved and don't cause us trouble, and we want them to continue, so they're occasionally lurking around. But the other thing, that Anthro Northwest, you tweeted about this.
So Anthro Northwest is one of the 3 or 8, I don't remember how many, potential replacement conventions for Furist. It's happening this weekend in Seattle. So it is the first RF replacement con to actually take place. And it apparently came up today on Twitter that they were going to have media there filming for a reality show. The hostess is someone who used to be on The View. They basically investigate into subcultures. And they have a pretty broad remit, you know. Some are fun and some are dangerous. You know, we'll get to see where furry falls on that. I'm not familiar with the show or the host's other work. And now there's a lot of discussion about whether it's opt-in or opt-out. Here's the thing. It's like everyone's real-life faces will be blurred out automatically. If you want to not be blurred out, you have to opt-in. But everyone's character faces, the fursuit heads, are automatically opted in. So if for some reason you don't want your fursuit to be on film, you have to let them know that you're opting out so that they can blur your suit features.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the documents because I...
Well, I retweeted.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to find your retweet because there's a lot of people tweeting on my timeline tonight.
I'd be less concerned about this if they had announced it further in advance. And from what I can gather, I don't think they actually announced it. I think people showed up at the con and were like, what the fuck is this? like the information was just in their con bag or something. Now, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on that. I'm kind of making some supposition here, but based on what I've seen on Twitter, I don't think they actually announced any of this in advance.
Okay, here it is. God, that was 3 hours ago and 200,000 tweets earlier down my timeline. Yeah. It's This Is Life with Lisa Ling. It's got a 4.5 out of 5 on Hulu and a 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb. So yeah, award-winning journalist and author Lisa Ling reports on unconventional lifestyles in the U.S. The former co-host of The View introduces viewers to subcultures and communities that are both extraordinary and sometimes dangerous. And her interpersonal skills prompt interviewees to discuss matters they don't share with close friends or even family. I have always believed the more we know about each other, the more evolved we become, Ling says about the intent of the hour-long documentaries. It's on CNN. It's got nomination from GLAAD Media Awards for Outstanding TV Journalism. But again, an hour-long furry doc for CNN? I don't know about that, dudes. I mean, it's not MTV, but again, I don't think it's smart for an inaugural convention to get to continue. Like, if you're going to be inviting people first year, will the fandom be cool with you continuing to a second year? That's the question.
Yeah. Like, like I said, it feels like pulling a fast one on their attendees. And also, I've been a little dubious of this convention. Like, they've been fairly reticent to describe themselves as a furry convention in any of their official things. They claim that they're an anthropomorphics convention, and they're really hammering home the all-ages, family-friendly aspect of it. So it feels like they're trying to be a furry convention and not call themselves a furry convention. And the last time Icon did that, it didn't go so well until they finally embraced their true calling.
Their true nature.
Their true nature.
No, we're a pothead convention.
Oh, I wasn't going to name names.
I think anybody with an ounce of familiarity would probably know.
Yeah.
And again, that was a while back. But yeah, I honestly have not paid any attention to that. So, good luck, kids. Have fun storming the castle, because we'll hear about it, I'm sure, if it doesn't go well.
One of the parody accounts that popped up was North Sound Furry Weekend, or NSFW.
Nice. EQLA's final year is this weekend, I think, as well.
Oh, so they're ending too?
Yeah, they decided that... They announced after we've announced... We, Nightmare Nights, announced that we're done, that they're also done. Three-day weekend.
It's probably in L.A., I would imagine.
It's in Anaheim near Disneyland or World.
False advertising. They're not in EQLA. They're in Anaheim.
People have given them literal shit over that, yeah.
Are you serious? I'm just being silly. No. You need to change your name to EQA.
Yes.
This is like... Furthermore, got shit because they moved from Baltimore to Virginia.
Oh.
They're in like Something's Crossing, Virginia. It's like right over the
furthermore
border.
Furthermore was like Baltimore?
Yeah. And where I always assumed it was furthermore, you know, it was the vocal expression.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I was like, alternate names for furthermore, henceforth.
Okay, and actually it's next, it's the 18th.
Okay.
The weekend of the 18th. That's another call that's decided. You know, actually, the market not really supporting this anymore, so they're calling it quits. I mean, again, I'm going to say we broke even, but not by much.
Mm.
And that's 2 years in a row that I basically worked for free. And while I didn't start this game to make money, I didn't also do it to work for completely free. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Because we're only going to get, like, maybe one more season after 8, if that.
Mm-hmm.
So, with, like, even if the numbers were good and we were making money, we'd have to consider wrapping it up anyway. Because, like, if we end up getting, like, a final half season, like, oh, season ended in June, your convention's in October, that sucks.
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess your con landed at a good time this year because you had the season finale and the movie had only been out for, what, a week or two?
Like 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
So that got people's butts in the door. Because like, horse movie, woo!
Mm-hmm.
Season finale, woo!
I'm suddenly reinvigorated by this fandom.
The season finale was kind of lame, honestly.
If Jim hears you saying...
Well, I don't think he listens to this podcast, so okay. We're good. Unless you're going to be like, yo, Jim, listen up. This fucker's talking about furry stuff and also ponies. Oh, no. Mm. He paid for you to come to his convention, like, twice. Oh, no. There was actually... So, going back to the celebrity thing, there was a tweet.
Yes.
That was like, yo, do you have any good allegations for, you know, celebrities? Like,
yes.
If there's somebody good, tweet about them.
And I retweeted one from the niche. Is that the one you were going to mention?
No, well, I saw a couple from, and I contributed one myself, where it was like, yo, Tabitha St. Germain is super nice and bought me a grape soda once. She's cool. And I was like, Lauren Faust is a patient and understanding woman working in art and children's animation. She deserves all the recognition she can get. And it's like, it's good to see people being like, actually, these people are cool. You know, even if it's...
Matthew McConaughey shared his weed with me. Yeah, that's not true. The cool one that I shared earlier was James Doohan plays Scotty on Star Trek.
Uh-huh.
Talked a Star Trek fan out of suicide.
Oh, yeah. I've
by convincing
anecdote.
Her to come and see him at cons. And he didn't just do this once. He did it repeatedly. He was like, okay, in 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to be at X-Con. I want to see you there, too. And they did this, like, several times in a row. And then he didn't hear from her for, like, 8 years. And then she sent him a letter that was like... I've graduated, I've got a master's in electrical engineering or something like that, and, you know, I owe my life to you, and I'm like,
nice.
Holy shit, dude. You know, as if he wasn't cool enough already with being like a badass World War II veteran and playing fucking Scotty, you know. And I was like, damn, that's going the extra mile.
Yep. So that's some good stuff. Also, my nails are very sparkly. Very shiny.
You're trying to be gayer.
Actually, yeah. So, I had this thought today.
That you've been fucking too many women, and that your bi meter is slipping
skewed.
To one side.
I must
yeah.
restore balance to the force.
Right. The force of your pelvis.
Yeah, and I'm trying to set up time to fix that. But, last Sunday, a friend of mine showed up, and she'd gotten some dark sparkly colors as from like a friend or whatever, and she brought them to the Londoner.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, all right, who wants to have their nails painted? I'm like, I haven't had my nails painted since I was like fucking 19 and doing my really goth phase back when I worked at fucking Toys R Us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I let her paint my nails, and I'm like, you know what? These are really, it's really pretty. It's sparkly. Also, I can't bite them, which is good. But she didn't seal it, didn't have top coat, so they all got chipped to hell. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to go to Walmart. Well, I had to go to Walmart for something else. And I don't like going to Walmart, but I went there anyway. And they had this color here is called Dark Arts or whatever. It's this dark blue, sparkly, glittery-ass stuff. Mm-hmm. And because it was technically a Halloween color, it was like 47 cents for this bottle of nail polish.
Wow.
And I'm like, all right, fucking sweet. And got, like, bought base coat, top coat stuff. And so I actually went and I did the job of painting my nails. So I've got blue, sparkly-ass nails that are sealed and hopefully shouldn't chip. But it's one of those things.
Looks like Luna's mane.
Sure. But I had this thought where it's like, I'm very much a very straight-passing kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, in here, queer as hell, but walking around, like, I'm your average... kind of gamer-looking, beardy guy. I'm not screaming epithets at women or anything. You know, I'm not one of those gamers. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you looked at me while standing still, like right now I'm wearing a Rock Band hoodie that I've had for probably 10 years. And because
mm-hmm.
this is an original Rock Band hoodie back when Rock Band was new on, like, the PlayStation 3.
Hashtag real gamer fox.
Oh, yeah. So it was just one of those things where it's like, having my nails, A, it made me feel pretty, and B, it's just like this little bit of outward queerness that, you know, it's like, this is obviously this is more for me than anybody else. I'm not being like, bitch, I'm queer, and like showing my nails to them, but it is one of those
why things. You gotta rub it in? You're literally rubbing your fingernails in someone's face,
sticking my thumbs up their nose, just going, yeah, I lifted him up. No, but
give
it is
give me human body support, nasal passage support weight.
Let's find out. But it is one of those things.
I hope like, someone rips someone's head open in Black Panther like that. Just
that would be pretty rad. But it was just this like moment of having like being outwardly queer in a way. It's like, yeah, my nails are painted, they're pretty. And I'm sure people be like, yeah, well, some people, some like, you know, hipsters do that shit. I'm like, well, bitch, I'm doing this for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing this because I like it, actually. So, you know,
yeah,
I just had this little moment where it's like, yeah, that's one little way of being outwardly different and feeling good about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, I should own this a little more. Because we have a couple of our friends who are a bit more femme in certain ways. And that's cool, whatever works for them. Like, say, Keo.
Mm-hmm.
Though he recently cut his hair, and we have a couple of our femme friends. I was like, all right, that's cool. But I was thinking about my own, like, presentation. I'm like, yeah, you know, being your average nerd, straight-passing guy is useful in easy mode, but is it super authentic? And it's like, you never know. I'll do what works for me, basically. That's just my 2 cents on the matter. In other news, fall anime season started, and there's some real dumb shit out there.
I was gonna say, you don't sound enthusiastic about that.
There is literally only, like, one show that we ended up watching on Monday that we were like, yes, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we both were like, this is cool, this is good, let's continue watching this.
And since you only watched one show, that was 100% success rate.
No, we watched like eight. We finished off multiple shows from last season because there's this month gap where we were a little too busy to take a chunk of Monday off to watch anime, right?
No kidding.
And so we finished, we had a couple of shows where we had like 2 episodes left or the season finale left to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrapped those up and those were good, but right now, this season, there's not a lot that's making us just go, fuck yeah. Like, Ancient Magus' Bride, which is has a very interesting premise to start. That's the one show. Man, there was this other one. Let me find the name of it, because it is seriously a what-the-fuck kind of show. Now, it's episode zero of this show is, because it's in my history, and I'm going to have to take it out. Dies Irae is the name of the show. Mm-hmm. And the first episode is all about making Nazis pretty. Like, literal historical Nazis that are the villains of the show, but episode zero of the show is all about making out something Heinrich, the literal architect of the fucking Holocaust, into making him into the big bad. He's the villain of the show. But also this pretty boy who's only working for the glory of the fatherland and humanizing and making him this anime pretty boy. And, like, Karl Kraft, like, his court sorcerer, into, like, this wizard motherfucker. And then there's these three female characters who are listed as being part of various Nazi-ass things, one of which is the Nazi breeding program where the Nazis were paying voluptuous, big-breasted, blonde, blue-eyed women to fucking have babies and during World War II. And one of these same women characters, there's a character who's, I guess, some sort of violent killer person who is androgynous and doesn't, like, maybe male, but was wearing a dress. They don't really explain this, but one of the characters is like, oh, you're a hideous monster degenerate who must be purged from this world. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this anime doing? Like, okay, cool. They're making these out to be... they're the villains, apparently. But episode zero makes them out to be, like, the heroes of the story. And both James and I were just like, what the fuck? like, I'm more versed on World War II and Nazi bullshit thanks to last podcast and just quick, and I'd seen the negative buzz around the show, but it was really just, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And okay, sure, they've, like, well, they're not wearing Nazi armbands. Well, yeah, because they're not going to just slap swastikas on, but they're all wearing their armbands. They have some other bullshit symbol in them, you know. And then at the end of the episode, the main bad guy is floating on a giant golden skull castle in the sky over Tokyo. It was really bad. Feel free to look up the negative buzz, and if you have 24 minutes that you want to sacrifice out of your life, you can watch this and be disgusted by it. And it's based on, like, some visual novel or something, so it's not even some action series. It's based on, like, a novel. Like, not visual novels are not all dating sims, but...
It's not even, like, a real anime.
No, it's not, like, based on a manga or a light novel. It's a visual novel, so...
Yeah.
It's some sort of video game-ass premise, but as an anime and as an episode zero introduction to the show, it really gives you the wrong impression...
So
even if it's wrong,
Nazis are the bad guys, but look how pretty they are.
Yeah, like
okay.
Let me
weird.
It really is impressively bad, and it's gotten incredibly negative buzz.
That sounds like a great review out of context. Impressively bad, says Savrin Drake.
Yeah, like it's got a 5.8 out of 10 on my anime list, which is to say. It's worse than shit because it's more on the 7 out of 10 list. Characters. So, Reinhard Heinrich is basically...
Is that the character's name?
Reinhard Heinrich, yes. And what's really fucked is that Funimation is simul-dubbing this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they actually have actors that are like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm voicing a anime version of a literal historical Nazi.
Fuck me.
And all the names are... Some of the non-action... Like, the non-real characters are just fucking really wildly named.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of... Yo, what the fuck? No. No. And it's really weird because not many anime can really get this visceral sort of what the fuck out of me. Like, I do a lot of pre-reading before I sit down... And be like, I'm gonna try to look at this, this, and this. Because the stuff that gets really bad reviews is... Alright, I'll know to avoid this. Or if it's not a genre I want, or if its subject matter seems really fucky. There's this one... There's an anime this season titled A Little Sister's All You Need.
Oh, my creepdar is just going like, off. Woo, yeah. Woo.
And, yeah, it literally is... It's an anime...
Is it written by Roy Moore?
No, because those are other people's little sisters.
Oh, right.
But no, the author doesn't actually have a little sister, I don't think, in the story, but it's heavily focused around this guy who's an author who writes nothing but sister incest stuff. And that's like the punchline of this show, which is very meta in a way because the last couple seasons have had shows where like literal sister fucking is kind of on the table. There was one last season, and there's one titled Oremo, which is infamous for that being the whole fucking point of the show.
Mm.
It's a harem anime, but in the end, he hooks up with his little sister, I think. And so, it's like...
this is worth 900 episodes.
Yeah, Japan, what are you doing, huh? No. No, thank you. And then there's a couple other ones which are just like, oh, it's this season's version of insert other horrible show... Like, there is this one called, like, Juni Taisen, where it's based, like, there are these 13 characters. They're all based around the Chinese zodiac. They have various special abilities and shit around that.
Mm-hmm.
And in another show we watched last season called Magical Girl Raising Project, anytime you got a character's backstory, that character was fucking dead by the end of the episode.
Right.
So it was like, action, action, action. Oh, we're going to learn more about this character. And they're dead. And... This happened every single time that there was a character death. So after the first two, you're like, oh, well, so much for that character, right? And this happened. Like, the first episode's focusing on this one character who's kind of made out to be the main character on the show. Instead...
Guess not.
No. Like, She is literally killed with a single sneak attack stab to the chest. Just like, there's shit going down. She's like, I've got my two ridiculous big guns and I'm gonna shoot all the bullets. And then she gets grabbed from behind and shanked. And she's dead. And that's it. And apparently it continues that anytime you get character backstory in the show, that character is dead. So that's fun. So right now this season doesn't have a ton going for it, but we shall persevere. Anime is an unpredictable thing. There can be a lot of good shit in a season, or like one show and the rest you just go, you know what, we can play video games or whatever.
Anime is a fickle mistress.
Well, it's like pretty much anything on Netflix, too. I will say it is nice to know when shows know they're getting canceled. I don't know if I mentioned it last episode. We finished up The Expanse for season 2, and then we watched like a couple episodes of the show Zoo, based on James Patterson's book.
Netflix keeps popping that up on my recommends, but I haven't watched it.
Well, it's kind of like The Walking Dead, same conceit. The world has turned on humanity.
Yeah.
Or in this case, instead of zombies, it's animals.
Right.
Like cats, dogs, birds, reptiles. Everything has decided that humans are prey.
Mm-hmm.
The problem being is it got 3 seasons in and canceled before knowing it was canceled.
Right.
So there was another show where they're like multiple seasons in, but no, a year in advance that this is the last season. So they can actually wrap their shit up. As opposed to this show, Zoo, where it's just like, oh, well, cliffhangers.
So Zoo's being canceled. What was the other show?
12 Monkeys was the one.
Oh, okay.
I think Panther picked it up.
I've watched about a season and a half of that. It was on Hulu.
Yeah, like they got 3 seasons in, they're doing one more season, and they're done. Okay. But that also means that they got 4 seasons to work with. They know what they've got, and they can wrap shit up. Because
That happened to Dollhouse.
Yeah.
Like, Whedon found out that they were being canceled, and he tried to wrap it up as much as possible.
Yeah, because, like, apparently the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah.
You
know, that
one had a just cliffhanger ending.
Yep. I love that show. That show was awesome.
Panther loved it, and he was, you know, if it gets brought up, he's like, oh, they canceled it. There's no ending. Because, like, the last I saw was, like, the T-1000 was walking out of an exploding building after having, like, knived some dudes. And I don't know if that was the end, but that was the last thing I saw of it. And
it's been a while
since that wasn't an ending.
But at the end, the actual end, the body of the T-888 that they've been connecting to the intelligent AI basically gets up. And he takes the chip out of, I don't remember River Tam's Terminator name.
I don't know.
Or the actress's real name, apparently.
No, she's River Tam, though.
She's River Tam. She can
kill you with her brain.
And Terminator.
In real life.
And Terminator has been described as River Tam beats up everybody. The AI takes her chip, which basically leaves her body like this empty shell. Right, and then the Terminator something happens, and they initiate a time travel vortex into the future, and John and Sarah Connor are dragged into the future with them.
Oh,
so at the very end, you're like, okay, their Terminator's disabled, the new AI thing is walking around, and they're in a devastated future, and their friend that was killed is still alive because he hasn't gone back in time yet.
Oh.
And it's like, clearly there were, I mean, they ended on this huge turning point. Like, clearly they were going in this totally different direction with the next season. And it's just like, fuck?
Yeah.
You know, they had some really interesting characters and it was really good writing, and it's just annoying. And there was these rumors after it got canceled that maybe it'll wrap it up in a 2-hour movie. And all I could say to that was good fucking luck, because you've kind of, like, scattered all the pieces of the board at that point, you know? Like, you can't tell a 13-episode story in a 2-hour movie without it sucking, without it leaving a lot on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, and at least they're trying to do that with, like, Sense8.
We'll see. Yeah, which Sense8's cliffhanger was Wolfgang ends up kidnapped by the bad guys and they're about to start experimenting on him. So this is easier. Literally, all the movie of Sense8 has to do is the other seven have to rescue him. That's it. The only cliffhanger element was it wasn't Wolfgang. I think it's the Chicago cop. Yeah. I've forgotten his name.
I don't know. I've never seen the show.
All they have to do is rescue him, and then they've told the story. And I'm sure it'll do more than that. But the way it ended, I think, if I recall correctly, it's a lot easier for them to wrap up than the massive fucking right turn that Sarah Connor Chronicles took right at the end.
Yeah. So actually, here's something that is good news? Question mark. Mm-hmm. So, Funko Pops, how do you feel about those?
Apparently they're going bankrupt?
Apparently. So, apparently they're $320 million in debt, and an IPO lost like 40% of its value day one.
So people are like, you know what? Not going to invest in that.
Yeah, apparently it was the worst one in like 17 years. Mm. And
I have like two. I have a Thor one, and I have a 12th Doctor.
See, I've never forgiven them for canceling the pony line they had going. Because, okay, those are big. They can't all be pulled, shat out from the same mold, essentially. They're different and whatnot. They had a Nightmare Moon and a Chrysalis one that they'd shown the prototypes of, but then they canceled.
Oh, I saw you talking about that on Twitter.
So, basically, they got through basically all the main cast and the princesses, and they were going down the, like, all right, here's Maud and Cheese Sandwich and Daring Do. And so they were kind of scraping the bottom in terms of, like, characters people would buy. But they didn't fucking make Nightmare Moon the first villain of the first fucking season for one episode. But she was, like, the first big villain of the show. And Chrysalis, the big villain of season 2's finale. They didn't make those. And now they went into making, like, a billion fucking pops of everything under the sun. Mm-hmm. Like, here's Jareth from the Labyrinth. And here's the dudes from Big Bang Theory as Star Trek people. And just all these, like, here's the fucking Golden Girls as Funko Pops. And, man, you go to any fucking store, like, any nerd geek store, and they just got a billion of these fucking things infesting the stores. And I'm like, who the fuck buys those?
Okay, so I'm going to assume that you don't like them.
No. I don't.
At least the pony ones were actually pony figures, I suppose.
Yeah, they were proper-ass pony figs. And, like, they've gotten to where they've got the Legends of Equestria, the figures. Like, I have the Celestia, Nightmare Moon, Chrysalis, those statuettes.
Oh, those Funko?
No, that's Hasbro.
Oh.
It's like, okay. Yo, we're going to get some sculptors to do some rad shit here. Mm. There's one that's still yet to come out that's Tempest and Twilight fighting. Mm-hmm. Like, she's, like, doing, like, shotgun magic blast, and Twilight's jumping in the air, and it's all, like, this sort of suspended-looking, really cool-looking figure statue thing, which I will totally fucking buy.
Right.
Once it's available. And
5 years from now, you will donate to another Pond-Con's charity.
Probably. But I think it looks really cool, and, like, considering how the movie ends with them basically with fucking Tempest doing Nala eyes to Twilight, you know, we see where this is going.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, can Nala. You feel the friendship tonight? Show you the magic of friendship with benefits. So, like, Funko dying and there being a billion fucking Funko Pops lurking on the shelves of 99 cent only or Dollar Tree does not bother me one bit.
When, like, the aliens come and dig up our civilization, they're going to have this really weird idea of what humans look like, because it'll just be these piles of moldering Funko Pops.
Well, you know, we have the Venus of Willendorf, right? The famous original, like, ancient clay figurine of a woman that we found. You know, and so that's what the aliens will find in our ashes is the Funko Pops.
Right. I assume, I mean, before that, I was like, they're going to find a mound of Atari ET cartridges buried in the desert.
But, yeah. Venus of Willendorf.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I think I have seen that.
From 28 to 25,000 BCE. So,
oh, shit.
Nearly 30,000 years ago.
Wow.
So, this figure of a big-breasted woman looking down on herself.
And so, I'm very amused. Like, one of the other, like, first pieces of human art ever is a fucking lion dude.
Yep.
So, it's like the first pieces of human art are furries and a big-breasted woman.
Yep. Humanity has not really changed that much.
Not really,
in terms
no.
of what they want to make. Everybody, throughout time...
Back then, they were posting them on the walls of Cave Affinity.
Man, look at this guy's rendition of a lion-headed man. Oh, I better get a couple of virgins and a goat so I can commission him.
I'd like to smash him with club.
Did you... Did you hear?
Club is what I call my dick. I got that, Steve!
Oh, God. But yeah, that Funko's, they can go right to hell. Also, I have to say that using the 280 characters on Twitter to post long excerpts from fanfics is a great way. It's a great way to use the technology they've given us.
Or like the entire chorus of All Star.
Yeah.
Oh, I was amused that the official Twitter account of the Law & Order SVU TV show posted the text of their intro. The
full intro.
Yeah.
With the dun-dun.
Yes, yes. I was like, okay, that... I'm seeing some that are just... A lot that are just bullshit, but there is some that are actually quite amusing. I use Tweetbot, so I'm assuming that it's going to take, like, an update being pushed or Twitter opening.
Yeah, actually, it is an update you need to get. So... First show on TweetDeck, but the Twitter site didn't update. Then the Twitter website updated.
Oh,
then
I got
my
it.
Phone
already.
Updated. The desktop client for Mac doesn't have it. Oh. So I'm still limited to 140 if I tweet from that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
I didn't even know I had it on my phone yet. This is how much I care, I guess.
Yeah, it's just one of those, okay, I've got more characters, so now I don't have to commit word crimes by... improperly punctuating my sentences. Pushing to 280 is fine, but there was one that I saw that was like, oh, you know, this update to 280 is great because you can do two tweets at once. Or it's like super serious tweet, and then, man, does anybody know how to get out of the alligator's mouth at the
mini golf course? Yeah.
Like, they don't close for a little bit. I don't want to see the face.
Oh, so... Since we were talking about it earlier and we mentioned so what do you think of the new Doctor's outfit?
Oh, right. It looks very 80s. Like the high-waisted pants, just it strikes me as a very 80s style of dress.
So the way Sarah described it to me was that he had heard someone say, at first I didn't like it. But if you think of it as someone who's trying to figure out how to dress like a woman for the first time in 2,000 years, it works.
Actually, yeah. Because he's like, okay, well, I mean, the Doctor could totally go with a lot of his, you know, the prior looks, but mm-hmm. now she has to figure out, it's like, yeah, maybe I can dress. She'd like, be like in the next Doctor thing, call up Rose, call up
Missy and, Bill. Yeah.
It's like, and drink cranberry juice.
The only thing I could figure, those pants are the only ones she could find that had pockets.
Oh, yeah, because they're from the 80s, and I guess they had pockets then, but
yeah.
Good luck finding women's pants with pockets today, apparently.
So, it's interesting, because, like, so you got the colors on the shirt, and, like, that sort of makes me think, like, Tom Baker.
Uh-huh.
And he wore, like, a light-colored coat part of the time like that, too. So, like, I'm sort of seeing some Fourth Doctor influence there a little bit, also with the boots. But, like, I could totally see... do you remember Romana, the second incarnation of Romana? Long blonde hair?
No.
Okay. I could totally see her. She was a Time Lady who accompanied them for two or three seasons. Yeah, it was her and Four and K-9. I could totally see Romana pulling off something like this back in the late 70s. I think it's one of those things, you know, what they've done with in this new show is the Doctor's stuck with a look, but not a specific outfit, like his variations on the theme. Yeah. Like Eccleston always had the jacket, but he changed the jumpers. Tennant always had some kind of... He had that one long coat, but he had like two or three different suits.
Yeah, so like she's not going to be wearing just that. I mean, even in my limited seeing of 12, like he changed his look and had different colors.
Yeah.
So
later on, he just wears like a hoodie. Yeah. And a ripped up old t-shirt.
He's just like, the Doctor stopped giving a fuck, and that's fine. So, I mean, just because this is the first outfit we see for the new Doctor doesn't mean she's going to have just that costume.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, hell, even in the original shows, they changed it around a little, I'm sure.
Yeah, the only time the 1981 season was when they got what they called a uniform.
Uh-huh.
And it was basically the same for like every episode, and like so like Davison's never changed. Six, like from his first season to his second season, they changed the color of his cravat and they changed his waistcoat.
Mm-hmm.
And Seven changed from a cream colored jacket to a brown jacket for his last 2 years, but everything else, tie, jumper, pants, hat, all stayed the same. And it was very little to no variation, particularly for Five. He didn't get any variation. And Four, who had had a lot of variations on the fedora, long coat, and scarf, when he got to his last season, they gave him like this one outfit, and he kept that for the whole season. And that was specifically a decision made by the producer that came in at that time.
I mean, even Nine had his leather jacket for most of it, but even then.
But then he had different t-shirts.
Yeah.
That he wore under.
So, I mean, I think that it's good that the more current...
It's more realistic.
Yeah.
That,
you know, when they say
a character wouldn't wear the same thing all the time, unless it's literally a uniform, like in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Where that works.
And it's been shown in the TARDIS that there's lots of... Like, they have the closet with all the clothes, and it's been shown multiple times whenever he gets a new companion... And they're like, holy shit, there's so many outfits here. And he's just like, yeah, we have fun, whatever.
And I'm always amused by the episodes where it's like, Doctor, why am I having to dress like this? Oh, it's very important that we don't stick out. And he'll be wearing the same god-awful looking coat that he always wears.
Yeah.
There's a Sixth Doctor episode like that where Perry is wearing these like 4-inch heels and this massive poofy dress that's impossible to move in, and there's a lot of mud in that episode, so it's a real pain in the ass. And he's still walking around in his bright standard multicolored coat, you know.
Nice. Well, that's one of the things that in like Legends of Tomorrow, they each time period they go to, they try to have sort of authentic clothes. And so,
but it's like they read the Cliff Notes version of the Old West.
Yeah. And the names that they give are always goofy as shit. Or like when they go back to the Arthurian age, like early, you know, English history, with to get the bit of the Spear of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And like only one character is in vaguely period appropriate attire.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else is dressed up in this very Ren Faire looking shit. And the only person who gets given shit because of their clothing is the guy who is actually like the historian.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, your leper has to wait outside. He's like, I'm not a leper, this is accurate.
I mean, I remember that. That's a good show. I enjoyed that
show. It's fun. Like, that's the big thing, is that it's just fun. And all the Arrowverse shows, you can totally see that they're making a lot of this on, like, no budget. You can see, oh, that's the alleyway. Oh, there's CN Tower. Every city has CN Tower.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the exterior of Star Labs, or. It's like, here's this building, which is totally Argus, but also other things. Here's the warehouse.
We only have one architect on this planet, and he reuses a lot of material.
Yep.
Hey, guys.
Hey. You're now on podcast. Yay.
Oh, no.
I'm a famous podcaster now.
Woo!
Woo!
It's nice to have good shit to talk about. It's like, hey, there's some bright light. There's some light in their horrible, dark reality.
Yeah.
You know, Trump hasn't nuked the North Korean section of the peninsula to own the libs yet.
Ah!
It's like, oh, you mad? Yes, I would be.
Yeah.
So, all right, kids. It is now past 10 o'clock, I'm sure. It is 10:30 almost. Yeah. So we're going to probably wrap this up. I'll have this edited and out at some point in the next week. Woo-hoo. And you guys can always email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/notcast. We have Twitter, Tumblr, for Affinity, notcast. You can find us. You can find me at Saverin Drake on Twitter. I'm full of words and tweets.
You can find me at Fuzzwolf on Twitter.
And all your fun stuff. And buy books at FurPlanet.com.
FurPlanet.com.
Buy my book. Not my book. Buy his book. He publishes.
I'm like, you should write a book, Severin. My life in the brony fandom.
Oh, man. So we actually... I don't think I mentioned it. So I was going back and forth with Flane.
Sorry to interrupt you. This just reminded me of something. Somebody... One of our mutual brony friends retweeted this. Somebody was playing some kind of pony game on Hasbro's website, and it auto-generates the character's name, uh-huh. And their character's name came out Flutter Tart. Tart. Flutter Tart.
Flutter Tart. That's just her stage name, Fuzz. You know? That's when she's working the pole.
Anyway, you were saying AC and you.
Yeah, we were actually like going back and forth on... actually, like, writing a con chair manual or something like that. Mm-hmm. Being like, we were going back and forth with episode, though, if we were to podcast it, make it a podcast or something, but that'd mm-hmm. be episode titles, like, chapter titles. Are you sure you want to do this? Chapter one. Chapter two. So you're really gonna do this? Okay.
Is chapter one just that 3-second video? Don't do this.
Yeah.
Roll credits.
That made some people very mad about that back when I made it.
They got salty about, what if you really want to?
Well, you're totally welcome to do it. I ain't gonna.
Yeah. I'll learn my lesson.
I'll learn my lesson, that's for damn sure. Mm. So, on that note.
Good night.
And big balls.